Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 139, Psalms 139. Be reading the first six verses. Psalms 139 says, verse number 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Verily, Father of God, as we study your word, open our eyes and our ears, Lord, that we'll see you high and lifted up. But most of all, Lord, we'll hear what you have for us. But then, Lord, move our feet to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Verse number 1 and 2, as we look at this psalm of David, says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And as I was getting ready for tonight, I stopped on six verses because it just, there to me is so much in just these six verses. And as I considered God and the psalmist is saying, thou hast searched me. And I thought about all the different things that we have done over our lives and different things that we have studied out and things like that, and to try and compare, we don't even get close. It's always funny when somebody's trying to tell you that they know about a place and they go, oh, I know this area just like I know the back of my hand, and they look at it and go, well, I don't remember that being there. And so much of the time we're that way. But God, in the psalmist, understood this about God, that he searched and known and each and every one of us. If we were to take any object and to do a thorough inspection of it, and to take, and let's for instance, one of the chairs here in the auditorium, and to take that chair into it, to search it out and to look at every little detail. And generally we would start back away so that we could take in the whole picture of it. And we would, as we took in the whole picture of it, we would walk around all four angles. But we haven't searched it out yet. We'd get up closer and notice some minor defects and check some things on it, and we still don't know it. And then we would grab a magnifying glass maybe and inspect every little stitch that's in the material, and we still don't know it yet. Maybe grab a x-ray machine and x-ray every area of it to see all of the hidden things that we can't see, and we still don't know it yet. Sit down on it and turn it upside down, and we still don't know it yet, not the way God knows us, not the way he has searched us and known us. Jeremiah 17, verse number 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. He searched and knows us. And it's not just a superficial knowledge, but the knowledge of one that has taken and firmly held us in his hands, even while we were in our mother's womb. In verse 2, he says, thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Our every movement is known by God. When before the thought even crosses our mind, and we'll see this here as we get Later into verse number 2, before the thought even crosses our mind to step down or to step up or to sit down or to stand up or to roll over in our sleep, God knows that. And He has already determined the path and the very thoughts. Grew up in mobile homes, and often there would be problems underneath mobile homes as because of the just design and everything else. And often as young boys, my brother and I would have to crawl underneath there and drag out a dog that had crawled underneath there and didn't want to come out, or a cat that had had kittens. And that's not that big a deal if you forget about the spiders and the other bugs and stuff like that. But God even knows those times when you stand up too soon before you're all the way up underneath the edge of that mobile home. Mm-hmm. And you scrape the back with the sheet metal and all the pain that is involved in that. But God knows that uprising. And He knows the thoughts and the patterns that cause. He says, "Thou understandest my thought afar off." Those shallow thoughts we have where we're just being silly or cheap in our thinking. But also those deep thoughts that we have, where we actually sit down and try to consider the ways of God and try and consider His life in ours. But also He knows those thoughts that are far off, those ones that we have yet to think. And He knows what they are going to do. He knows the fruit that they are going to bring up in our life. He knows the issues. In verse number 3, the psalmist says, "Thou compasseth my path." In the compasses is that encircling of the path that to basically, as the pioneers of old would bring their wagons west, and they would run into problems, or every night when they stopped for nighttime, they would circle their wagons and they would put the livestock on the inside so they couldn't wander off. And to know that God has encircled my path. But not only my path, but also my lying down. He has looked at and put a hedge about where we went, where we are, where we're going. And He understands even those areas where we might stray. The Bible describes Jesus as the great shepherd, and that we are His lambs, and often talks in the story of the 99, the shepherd who brings in his sheep and counts out the 99 and missing one. And I believe that shepherd didn't go out having to search many places and track every step, and as we often have to do, we all of a sudden notice we're missing our car keys, and we start thinking back in our mind where we were, and we start retracing all of our steps and trying to make sure. I remember some stuff was accidentally dropped as we were hiking through the woods, and to try and retrace our steps back through and over the logs and all of the stuff to try and find them. Those things that had been dropped. But the shepherd here compasses our path, but He even knows where we might go astray at. I believe that when He went looking for that lost sheep, He goes, "I know right where that one probably went off the path." And he goes right back to there, and sure enough, he sees and the lamb caught up in the thicket, the lamb off over the edge where it ought not to be, but stuck, and rescues it. That's the kind of shepherd we have encircling our very path. Verse number 4, it says, "For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." The words in our tongue are both known to Him, even when they're unknown to us. Those words that are not yet formed. As growing up, we were always told that you can't say something nice about somebody, don't say anything at all. And if mom was around, you caught yourself biting your tongue maybe because you'd rather not revisit something later. And Jesus knows, God knows the words that are on the tip of our tongue. I often struggle with that even earlier tonight as I was trying to remember a name and it was just right there on the tip of my tongue. God knows that word. But He also knows those words that we bite back. Just as He knows the words that we speak, and we're going to be accountable for every idle word. But in James chapter 3 verses 2 through 13, James gives out how a perfect man is able to bridle his tongue. And then he goes on to say that the tongue no man can tame. But although we have a God that has encompassed our path and has the taming ability of even our tongue. Verse number 5, the psalmist goes back and says, "Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me." Beset is a word that enclosed or walled in. And many use it as the thought pattern of to render escape impossible.